How are you at handling your finances? Do you have the Midas touch, or is it a real struggle? Well, we're going to talk about that today here on MemCare by Radio. Welcome to another edition of MemCare by Radio. I'm Scott Hollinger, and I'd like to thank you for joining us again today. We're going to start a series of programs looking at biblical principles of handling finances. This is an area many of us could probably use some advice, and I'll be working from the material of Dr. Ken Williams of Wycliffe Bible Translators. I remember once a young Christian worker who had just arrived on the field. This person's previous job had been fairly lucrative. And because of the timing of their arrival, the person was paid shortly after they had arrived. Well, when the person looked at the size of their paycheck, their comment was, "Well, I think I can make it on this amount if I'm careful." So what this new Christian worker didn't seem to understand was that the pay was to last the entire month and not just the week. Well, they blew through that first paycheck in just a few days, and then leadership had to sit down with them and help this person figure out a budget, and as well as give them a cookbook, because this person was used to buying extremely expensive prepared foods, and they just couldn't do that on their paycheck. I do remember that as just being an example of being totally unprepared in how to deal with finances and the reality of what we make when we are living overseas and working on a faith basis. So today we're going to look at Christ-honoring heart attitudes in regard to finances. As Christian workers, we do have special challenges in the financial arena. We also have a special need to understand what the Lord says about money if we are to honor Him in this area of our lives. For example, what is your greatest financial concern right now? Stop and think about it for a moment. What brings you the most anxiety? What specific problem in the area of money is uppermost in your mind? As you go through the following principles, look for possible solutions from God's Word. The Lord has much to say about money. Perhaps this is because He knows we need so much help in this area. Few things have as great a potential for good or evil in our lives as money. Do you realize that the good results from our money come primarily from us giving it away rather than our acquisition of money? Here's a few examples of good. Proverbs 3:9 says we can honor the Lord with it. Matthew chapter 6 verses 19 and 21 says we can lay up treasure in heaven that will last forever. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 speaks about it enabling us to abound in every good work, to enlarge the harvest of your righteousness, and to bring thanksgiving to God. Of course, the Bible also warns us of money's evil effects. Here are a few examples. Matthew 13:22 speaks about the deceitfulness of riches choking out the word. Matthew 6:24 says it can divide our loyalty to God, causing us to attempt to serve two masters at the same time. 1 Timothy 6:9 and 10 speak of the immense dangers of wanting to get rich. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Realizing money's great potential for good or evil, we're going to look at three foundational issues emphasized in the Bible. We need balance in all three areas to be financially successful by God's definition. The first is Christ-honoring heart attitudes. The second is Christ-honoring faith. And the third is Christ-honoring behavior, all in relation to how we deal with finances. Today, we're going to look at Christ-honoring attitudes. Our heart attitudes are of highest priority to God. He's deeply concerned about all of our attitudes, especially about money. Three attitudes are especially emphasized in the Word. These are interdependent. In other words, we can't have one without the other two. The first is a heart centered on God, not on material things or wealth. God says that we must choose to love either Him or money We cannot love both. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Colossians 3:1-2 says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." The second attitude is a heart of contentment. Oh, now there's one that can be difficult, right? Contentment is resting in God's gracious provision of everything that we need in present circumstances. Once our basic needs are met, there's virtually no relationship between contentment and how much we have. As an illustration, I remember once when my wife and I were flying back to the U.S., and we needed a car to drive so that we could visit churches and supporters and people and share with them about what we were doing. And we had no car. And as we were flying back, my wife, Naren, said, "Scott, what are we going to do?" And I said, "I have no idea, but I really believe God will provide." And he did. When we got to my parents' house, a man in our church pulled up in a car that he had purchased just for us. Now, it was an older car, a much older car, but it was in excellent shape because it had been hardly driven. And that car did wonders for us. It performed, and that was a need that was met. Did we need the nicest, fanciest car? No, not at all. God provided. And so there we learned contentment, that God will provide. And Luke 12:15 says, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Hebrews 13:5 says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.'" And then 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 8 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." Philippians 4 says, "Contentment must be learned. It doesn't come naturally for most of us, does it?" Even Paul had to learn to be content. We know this because he wrote about it in Philippians 4, when he said in verses 11 and 12, "I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." And the third attitude that we must have is a heart of gratitude. If we read the story of the 10 lepers in Luke 17, verses 11 through 19, there's no doubt that all felt grateful, but only one expressed it. Gratitude unexpressed is ingratitude. Listen to what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened." And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 lists horrible sins of the last days. One of those sins is ingratitude, an ungrateful heart directed toward God or other people. So that's a look at the attitudes that we should have that are Christ-honoring in our heart towards how we deal with finances.